quickly. The queen ain't happy. The queen is not happy. Danica from Jayville and Nika 989 tweets, forget the bat signal. I'm putting out the tenderoni alert for this Sunday after that dumpster fire in Dallas yesterday. She then chased that tweet by saying, quote, I need a slump buster. Is the flight deck available? Danica asking for a slump buster. As promised, we're talking all things NFL. I'm joined right now by an NFL Network analyst, an NFL and Fox analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at CFD22. My guest is Charles Davis. Charles, good morning. What's up? How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. I love when they call for the slump buster. I mean, you can't beat that.
Dude, can I tell you something, Charles? If you knew who she was talking about, you'd like it even better. The flight deck. My man. Appreciate you saying it. All right, so listen, you were on the call for the Carolina-Washington game yesterday. How impressed were you with the way Washington bounced back from that ugly performance against New Orleans on Monday night?
I was impressed, Jim. I wasn't surprised. And I know it's easy to say afterwards, but just look at the history of this team with Jay Gruden as the head coach. They tend to bounce back after big losses and play really well. The consistency has been their issue. You know, I talked with Jay about it, and he's been very open and told my crew before the Green Bay game, we are a front-running football team. For whatever reason, when we're down, we don't play nearly as well. We have not shown the great comeback capability. But if we get out and get on top of you, look out. And what did they do against Carolina? Jumped out to a 14-0 lead. They were embarrassed about Monday night. They had their resolve, but they played from the front. Like my good friend Randy Moss of horse racing fame said, when a horse breaks from the gate fast, he caught a flyer out of the gate. And when Washington does that, they're a lot tougher team to beat.
Charles Davis joining us. You know I love a horse racing analogy. Hey, listen, in your position, in my position, we're supposed to be objective. We can't play favorites. I get that. I got to say, though, I was really happy to see Josh Norman bounce back the way he did against his former team. I love the guy because there had been so much talk all week long about maybe he had gone Hollywood. Maybe he had lost something off his game. What did you see while you were watching him?
Well, I talked about it during the game, Jim, and what was interesting about it is all the things you said, as we well know, are so true. Different people analyzing him, okay? I've seen where my colleague at NFL Network, Charlie Casserly, had said that he's the third best corner on the team, behind Quentin Dunbar, the converted wide receiver, and Fabian Moreau out of UCLA. A colleague of ours in the business, Booker McFarland, had said on Monday Night Football, he's no longer the top corner on the team, Quentin Dunbar is. Well, he has pride. He was stung by that. And I thought that in this game, he played his best game of the year. Wasn't perfect. They attacked him late in the game and got some plays on him, Jim. But prior to that, Carolina had studiously avoided him. They aimed all their big shots at Quentin Dunbar. So that told me that in Carolina's estimation, even though Josh wasn't playing at the level that people expect from him, they expected him to play well in this ball game, and they still had full respect for him. He had an interception and a forced fumble in the game. I think Josh Norman is on his way to being back towards being the Josh Norman you're looking for. I don't know that he's the lockdown guy that people have made him out to be, but I also don't think that he's as bad as people said after the New Orleans game either.
Charles Davis joining us. All right, so last night, Kansas City goes to New England, and in the first half, Patrick Mahomes looked a little like you'd expect somebody to look, making just his seventh NFL start, but then he turned it around in the second half. Charles, I mean, you've been around this game a long, long time. How many quarterbacks have you seen with the composure of Patrick Mahomes at this stage of their career?
Very few. Very few. And when we add to it, in New England, Sunday night, New England having 10 days to get ready. And what did we all say, Jim, right? What we always say, oh, my God, Belichick that much time with a young quarterback? Well, as you noted, he had a couple interceptions early, stayed with it. But I do think there's a big part of the makeup of Patrick Mahomes is pretty incredible. But growing up in that major league, big league, locker room with his dad as a pitcher, being around people. You know, my colleague, Alex Rodriguez over at Fox, he's Patrick Mahomes' hero. And the dad has often said that Alex would treat him like an adult. He was the one that would say, hey, you're in the clubhouse, let's do this, let's do that, let's go hit the balls, let's shag, let's do all that. This kid had a chance to be around these big-time elite people and see how they did it. And along with his own personal makeup, has come out pretty well. And the last thing I would say, Jim, is he had a chance to learn poise and composure at Texas Tech, too, because most of their games were shootout, and he was often playing from behind trying to rally his team.
Charles Davis, my guest. You know, when you talk about Mahomes and his background, he's just so unique in so many different ways. That said, you're involved in the show Sports Stars of Tomorrow, and it profiles and it interviews high school athletes. So how different are today's high school athletes from the ones of, say, maybe a decade or two ago? Are they more mature? Are they more polished now than they were then?
They are everything that you just said and uber confident. Okay, look, we've always had confident kids coming up, all right? You had to be in order to play. But there was also, Jim, a time where you, quote-unquote, waited your turn. Does that make sense? Like,
sure.
When you rolled into the new program, going from high school to college, you kind of had to sit back and, okay, I got to wait for the veterans and let your talent come through and beat out a guy. Well, these young people nowadays, Jim, they're playing elite tournaments in AAU or 7-on-7 flag football at a younger age. They're going to these things like the opening, right, the elite players. They're seeing each other on the camp circuit, so they're all kind of doing, you know, everybody talks about the NBA and let's get together and form super teams. These kids recruit each other.
Hmm.
When I was that age, okay, and I mean, it's back in the dark ages of the 80s, when you heard about a great player across the country, there was a mythical quality to him because you just didn't see him. There weren't highlights, you know, there wasn't this. You heard about that guy, go, wow, I heard he's really great. These kids all know each other now, and they are not cowed when they go to the college level. They go in expecting to take someone's job, expecting to play right away, and that's a big positive for teams. But when you're trying to talk about harmony and dynamics, it's a lot tougher for the older guys now because they don't wait their turn anymore. These kids are precocious to the nth degree, and let's face it, they're on television. They play on TV from the time they're 12 years old. Going to these big-time places is not going to intimidate them at all.
Charles Davis joining us. You can watch him on NFL Network and Fox Sports. Or as you mentioned, back in the dark ages of the 80s. Let me go back to your career for a minute. You were a DB at Tennessee. You went to training camp with the Cowboys. What was that experience like? What do you remember about that?
It was a great experience, Jim, and I'll tell you this very quickly. My dad was a high school and college basketball coach and played football and baseball in college at Bluefield State in West Virginia, which at the time was a historically black college and university. So he knew the score. So I go to camp. It was the waning days of Tom Landry as a head coach. The Cowboys weren't as good as they had been, but there's still some pretty recognizable people there. Everson Walls, Michael Downs, Danny White was the quarterback, you know, right on down the line. So I go, I do my thing, blah, blah, blah. I wasn't good enough. They cut me. So the morning I got cut, the Turk knocks on the door and says, hey, Davis, Coach Landry wants to see you and bring your playbook. So I've been around sports my whole life, Jim, so I knew exactly when I was getting cut. So before I ran over to see Coach Landry, I called my dad. Now, this is the old days. I had to get the calling card out and hit the rotary phone. So I called him that morning back in New York, and I said, hey, Dad, I think I'm getting cut today. And he said, why? And I said, well, the man just knocked on the door and said I had to see Coach Landry. And he goes, oh, well, heck, he might want to, you know, just tell you you need to do this or try and help your game, what have you. I said, Dad, the man told me to bring my playbook. He said, oh, you're cut.
That's awesome.
Never forget it. That's my biggest memory right there. The old man at that point just reverted to being a coach and an athlete and forgot he was dad.
Right.
He's like, oh, yeah, you're cut.
Oh, that's great. That is tremendous. So do you remember, was there anything to the conversation with Tom Landry? If you're going to get cut, it may as well be by a legend like Tom Landry.
Yeah.
What do you remember about the conversation?
It was terrific because he said, you know, there's a standard form where they have to check why they're cutting you. And the standard form is performance not up to standards or something like that. That's what you kind of have to say. And I said, Coach, is it okay if I disagree with that? And he said, yeah, you can disagree, but, you know, it's not going to change anything. I said, I know. And he just looked at me and said, son, what are you going to do now? I said, well, Coach, I graduated 4 years at Tennessee. I played my fifth year as a redshirt as a graduate student. He said, oh, what? And I said, in history. He said, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, I plan to go back to school. And if I don't hook on anywhere else, I'll go back to school and get my graduate degree. He said, well, that's terrific. He said, I'd love to hear that. That's what you need to do. So he was very nice. Fast forward X number of years down the road, I'm working for the United States Olympic Committee in Colorado Springs. Tom Landry's in town to give a talk that a number of us attended. And after it was over, able to meet with him and go by. And all my friends were there like, you got to say something. You got to say something. I said, hi, coach, I'm Charles Davis. And you're not going to remember me, but you cut me from the Cowboys. And he looked at me and he said, probably one of my mistakes. I said, well, coach, I'd say with your record, I doubt it was a mistake. I appreciated the opportunity. That was the last time I had a chance to meet with Coach Landry.
That is good stuff. NFL Network analyst and NFL on Fox analyst. You can follow him on Twitter as well, at CFD22, Charles Davis, my guest. That's a great way to start the week, Charles. Thanks so much, man. Really appreciate you. And great to have you back on.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jim. I appreciate it. You take care of yourself. We'll talk down the road, I'm sure.
You got it. You know it. Really enjoyed that. Charles Davis. I had even more to talk to him about, but we got to keep moving now. And that was some good content. Great.